Blog Talk Radio.
Truth. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtain.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more, all in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
This is Phil Armstrong, and we like to welcome everybody out there who is listening to this program out in North America. We're going to be talking about the current events in Bible prophecy. We got a few minutes with you today. We're only going to go an hour today on Blog Talk Radio. So for you Blog Talk Radio listeners, we're only going to go an hour. So I know it says hour and 30 minutes, but for some strange reason, it's coming up 1 hour and 30 minutes on the switchboard. Okay, we have a lot to discuss today. I want to talk about the family, the kids raised today. We have a dilemma. More than the dilemma, we have a big problem. Our society is just what the Bible prophesied in the last days, where Timothy is talking about what the church or what the people, what the generation will be like in the last days. And this generation is depicted in the Bible in 2nd Timothy chapter 3 in a not too beautiful light. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." Now, for right now, I'm going to focus on verse 5. It's a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What power is he talking about? Now, a lot of people who are in the faith movement and various other movements who believe that prosperity is a form of godliness, or prosperity is a sign that you're saved, you can look at that and say, well, the power he's talking about is the power to raise the dead. Well, I got one question for you. How many dead people have you seen rise in the last 2 years on your block, or even in your city, or even in your state? You say, oh man, blasphemy, blasphemy. Well, I'm going to lay on the line for you guys today. Jesus said there is no greater man than John the Baptist. And then he turns around and says, people who come after him are greater than John the Baptist. So what is he talking about? Well, Do you know that John the Baptist was the only prophet who did not do a miracle? Not one miracle. But do you know what John the Baptist was? He's a forerunner of Jesus Christ. Do you know that John the Baptist said the first message that he said was identical with Jesus, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand? So, Jesus says to the disciples, he says, you do the same thing I'm doing, which is the disciples did, but you do greater work. Folks, what is a greater work? Let's say, for instance, if Jesus healed Lazarus, or rose Lazarus from the dead, and Lazarus went back and backslid and went to hell. What good would it have been? Lazarus would have been saved before. You raised me, you might as well just left me dead. But we know Lazarus is in heaven. That's not my point. My point is that if Jesus raised somebody back there from the dead and they still end up in hell, what good is it? How to heal their ligaments or heal their blindness and they still end up in hell, what good is it, right? Okay, so here's the deal. If we can give the gospel out, it is the greatest thing that you can give you can present to somebody eternal life. Not that they get healed. And I know there's some people that probably get ticked off of what I'm saying, but look, the gospel today is to the Church of Philadelphia is that we are a weak church. What I mean by that is that we need the power to get and gain his strength. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning, America. Warning, America's habit forming. Savage habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at AnAmericanWarning.com. That's AnAmericanWarning.com.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we're back. And what I was talking about was 2 Timothy chapter 2. And did I say chapter 2? I meant chapter 3. And I was kind of focusing in on chapter 5. And the Bible says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The form of godliness is going by the motions, but there is also a bunch of mysticism to it. Now, some of the faith movement churches are intertwined with New Age movement philosophies, and I'm not going to go there today. But if you can masquerade yourself as a Christian, and at the same time come to Christ because you think he's going to give you mystical powers to raise the dead and to heal the sick or to get a bigger paycheck. And most of the time in the faith movement, that's the most greatest priority that you can have. This is why 1 Peter is very important. In the verse, let's go to chapter. Let's go to chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. It says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be insolent in season and out of season, reproof, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables." Now, if you hear a lot of the prosperity preachers, they tell a lot of stories. There's no substance. They use like 2-3 scriptures. If 3, that's giving them the benefit of the doubt. And a whole lot of fables, a whole lot of stories. When I was a kid, I was raised from my body. I got out of my body, and I walked over there, and I walked on the water, and I said, "Norma, I'm healed." "Oh, glory to God, you're healed. Oh, you have a form of godliness, honey, but you deny the power thereof. How dare you talk to me like that, bitch?" And you notice in the faith movement, the women are stronger than the men. And that's, I'm not going to give you why I say that, because I used to go to faith movement church. But I noticed that some of the women in faith movement churches are saved. Some of the men in faith movement churches are saved, because I used to go to one. And I said, I knew I was saved at that point. But we have to endure the sound doctrine. Because if we don't endure the sound doctrine, folks, we're going to be in trouble. I got a little tape for I want y'all to hear. And if I can find it, actually, I don't have a shoot. I hope I got a tape for y'all to hear. But, yeah, it's very important that we do adhere to sound doctrine. Because if we do not adhere to sound doctrine, we may cause our friends to slip, or we may slip. And that is the most important thing, that we do not slip. Let me see what this one is. They don't even have. Okay, well, we'll keep going. Okay, so let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to read chapter 4. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience share with the hot iron, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know not the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving." Okay, so let's go back to the first part. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh." Now the Spirit speaketh. When the Spirit speaks, you listen. "Especially that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." And the movement that I'm talking about is just that, a movement that believes strictly in prosperity. They believe in miracles and all that other stuff to boot. Okay, so getting back to the generation that we're living in, a lot of the kids today are engulfed by witchcraft. And when I say witchcraft, witchcraft can be anything. It could be adultery. Witchcraft is what draws you. If you look at witches, you always notice that they have a spell that is cast upon the perceiving victim. If you go watch Shrek, I was watching Shrek and there had a lot of witches, but a lot of the culture today is depicted with a lot of sorcery. Now, with that being said, idolatry is a form of witchcraft where you are drawn to that object. You are drawn to that object. For instance, if you want a new skateboard, of course, if you're a kid and you're 7 years old, that's understandable because you're a kid. Imagine a 13 or 14 or 15-year-old want a new skateboard. How about an 18-year-old? That's probably be a poor illustration. How about diamond rings, a woman with diamond rings? She wants that diamond ring so bad that all she can focus on is her husband getting her that diamond ring. Well, that's a form of witchcraft because you have what is called deadly focus on that object. Now, God said in the Ten Commandments, we should not have anything above him. We should not have any other gods. You say, well, no, that necklace is not a god. That's not a god. Yes, it is. Whatever you put before God is a god. See, God created a void in us. And it's a God-shaped void that only God can fill. Only God can come in and fill that void. And that's why everybody's always seeking for something. And some people think I'm seeking for excitement. I want some excitement in my life. I want to do this. I want to go on vacation. Yeah, dude, I'm just feel empty. Well, that's God. That's God missing from your soul. And see, God is the creator of all things. And when he created Adam and Eve, he created them to cohabitate with him. But see, God is also the life bearer, not only through physical, but he's the life bearer through spiritual. Therefore, when God breathed air into Adam, that air that he breathed into Adam, so God gave you life twice. If you're born again, you will be born twice and die once. If you're unsaved, you will be born once and die twice. God has given us life, not only life, but he's also given us spiritual life, eternal life. And so when we came out of our mom's womb, we were eternal beings. We were eternal beings, and we will never, ever, ever die. Let me take that back. We'll never, never, never cease to exist. We will die, but we'll never, never, never cease to exist. We will always exist. And you probably say, well, give me proof. Well, I can't give you proof, but the Bible can. When the Bible talks about Lazarus and the rich ruler, God, Abraham was in the bosom. Abraham was in paradise, and Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham, meaning he was in paradise. And the rich ruler had died, and he went to hell. Now, the story before that is that Lazarus would be outside of the gate of the rich ruler, and the rich ruler will walk past Lazarus. Can you imagine him in his little parade with his beautiful women walking next to him? He needs to get away from my house, and walks in the house, and he goes in there and party and riot, and he can't even get the crumbs that fall off the rich ruler's table. That's how bad it is. And the rich ruler went to hell. And the rich ruler was down in hell wanting to witness. He wanted to share his testimony with everybody. Once you get in hell, you want to share your testimony with everybody. And that's understandable. But see, the sad thing is, can you imagine being a human, a person, a beautiful, a handsome man who had everything and never gave hell a second thought? And then you get in a car wreck, and immediately, boom, you're in hell, or whatever you do before you go to hell, and you're in hell. So you down there, and you got to figure out, did I go to church? I mean, you got to be, when you're in pain and agony, and you got to sit there and figure out why. Or imagine being a preacher who had what you suppose was salvation, but you were cheating on your wife. I mean, you ain't got to figure nothing out. You should know what's going on. But what if you were like a cult person who had, you thought you had the gospel, but Jesus was not God, or Jesus was not the Savior. You have to be saved through works. Sounds like the Catholic Church, doesn't it? Mary, oh, Mary, the Bible says Mary was a blessed woman. And I honor Mary. I'm like, wow, she's cool. She gave birth to the Savior. But when Mary came to the tent with her sons, and somebody came up to Jesus and said, your brother and your mother are outside. He said, these are my brothers and my mothers, whoever do the will of God. So that shut down the Catholic Church right away. But honor, they still elect. Mary is spoken of in John chapter 2, the book of John chapter 2. Not the Gospel of John, but the second John chapter 2, when it talks about the elect lady. Some people think that's Mary that they're talking about, but they just don't want to mention it because God was smart enough. He knows that people are going to make Mary out of a second, fourth person on the Godhead. It's not feasible. But getting back to what I was talking about, the generation that we're living in is defiled by so many things in the garden. See, when Jesus told Adam and Eve, "Hey, you can do this and this and this, but you can't eat from that one tree," Eve went and said to the devil, he said, "Well, the devil said, I heard you can't eat out of any of these trees." No, it's just that tree. But the thing is that we have many trees in today's society. We have so many trees to choose from that God said if you're offending one, you're offending them all. So the one bite from one tree, if you have 1,000 of those trees that God told Adam and Eve not to eat from, man, you got so many things that can draw you away from God. Anything can draw you away from God. You can be the champion of the greatest hamburger eating test champ in the world and go to hell because, oh, that's not wrong to eat hot dogs. Well, you're gluttony, first of all, but I'm not talking about that for right now. But I'm making a point. How about a crocheter? Somebody who just, an old lady just sits at the homeless shelter. That's sad, folks. That's sad. What is sad is that we can go to hell and it does not take any work to get there. If you had a dartboard and you focused in on the zero, the hitting the bullseye, and you hit somewhere off the bullseye, you're still focusing. You still at least hit that bullseye. You lit the dartboard with your arrows, with your darts. But let's say that you're in a giant gymnasium and the dartboard is right there. But here's the deal. You hit it. Let's put up pictures. Let's put up a whole bunch of pictures of things you like. Okay, so they say you hit that dart. So if you hit a pretty woman, you get to go with the pretty woman. If you hit a club, you get to go to the club. If you hit the car, you get to have a car. Well, that's what people are doing now. But see, in the middle of that, all those pictures of things that you can have, is heaven. And see, you have to focus in. Now, it doesn't take work to get to heaven. That's not what I'm saying. But you have to focus in on that dartboard. You have to hit it. And that is why God said that broad is the way to lead to destruction, and many there be that find it. It's not hard to get into hell. The Bible says in Matthew 7, verse 13, it says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in. But straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. The narrow way is not being aimed at. You have to take care of your salvation. You have to go with God. You have to walk with God like a mom take care of a baby. With that much proficiency. Does the baby got a rash? Does the baby got a fever? Does the baby this? Does the baby this? You got to burp the baby. You got to do this. You got to do this. If you don't take care of your salvation, you're not going to enter into heaven. It says Jesus was sitting with the kids, and the disciples walked up and said, "Man, send them away, God. Send them away, Jesus." He says, "This, no, such as this is the kingdom of God. If you don't come in the kingdom of God as a little child, you cannot enter in." Now, a little child is curious. If you take a six-year-old, seven-year-old, they're gonna finish the task at hand. They're going to focus in on that task. But they have a lot of interest. They have a lot of curiosity. When we go in to rely on God to take care of us, that's important. Whoever's in the chat room, I just got the chat room up to make sure y'all can hear me. Other than that, I'm next week we'll start inviting people to come to the show, and we have a lot of people in the chat room by then. But thank you for coming. Bye. I appreciate it. But God is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. The person who focuses in on the darts. Now, if you go off the board a little bit to the side, okay, that's fine. But if you go too far to the right, too far to the left, you're in trouble. Now, here's what I want to talk about right quick before I go back to what I was talking about. We're going to take... In about 3 minutes, we're going to go off and come back on because I'm doing this for my national radio program. But it talks about in Romans chapter 8. Now, the person who has the Spirit of God does not practice sin. Let me repeat myself. The person who is born again, has the Spirit of God, does not practice sin. Now, can you strike out? Well, imagine if a basketball player, miss a free throw, or a football player strikes out, and they say, "Oh, we don't need you anymore. Get out of here." What do you say? Oh, wow. I'm not going to play for that team. Ain't nobody going to go play for that team. But imagine if you were wide receiver who drops every pass to come your way. You think they're going to cut you? Yeah, they're going to cut you sooner or later. But he who practices righteousness, the Bible says, is righteous. He who practices sin is sin. So if you come to practice half-heartedly, what happens? Your coach is going to be talking to you, right? Well, a lot of people are who believe that a carnal Christian will be raptured. Now, a carnal Christian with no struggle will not be raptured. A carnal Christian, I think that's an oxymoron. That's like saying, let's cook. We need to cook some food. But at the same time, we really don't need to heat the water that much. I mean, we can use lukewarm water. Catch my drift? So a person who says, "I am a Christian," has to exemplify Christianity. Now, if you make mistakes, God is with you. He's going to walk with you, folks. He's going to be with you. But if you sin and you are sinning to be sinning, I mean, if that's your lifestyle, and you say, "Well, I'm going to be raptured," no, you're not. You're not going to be rescued. You're not going to be raptured out of here. You're going to be still here. Now, the Bible tells us to examine ourselves and make sure we're in the faith. Why did it tell us that? Have a free ride. If all we have to do is say that we're a Christian and walk off and say, okay, I'm good. I can go to the club now. I can go ahead and wear these new bell bottoms, tight pants. You know, I'm fly. I'm looking good. Got my hair all combed. About to meet this fine looking dude. He looking good. We're gonna go to a hotel room. Praise the Lord. I mean, might as well say praise the Lord, because that's exactly what you're doing. I'm judging somebody. Yeah. let's read Matthew chapter 7, and let's be honest about Matthew chapter 7, because people like to stop cold turkey on the first line. You can't judge nobody. What you trying to do judging somebody? You can't judge Bill Clinton for having that lady in the Oval Office. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Well, you can't judge him. 2 weeks later, I did have sexual relations with that woman. You still can't judge him. How naive can you get? I mean, what do you need? I mean, you judge your coworker every week. Every day you go to work, you judging somebody. That dude that jumped in front of you in the traffic, well, get out of my way, you know. Get out of my way. I mean, I got to get by. I got somewhere to go. And I'm stepping on my own feet. We got to repent for that. We judge every day. He going to just step in line in front of me? Or say, I know she didn't say that to me. So, I'm a pop girl. I saw you at church Sunday. What are you starting all this crap for? Well, anyway, the Bible says Matthew 6, chapter 7. It says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. Again. And why, here's the key, folks. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy eye, brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thy own eye? Now, picture me and Bill Clinton. I'm got to take the plank out of my eye first before I get the speck out of his. Okay, let's continue. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thy eye, and behold, a beam, remember the beam is still in my eye, right, is in thy own eye. Thy hypocrite. First, cast out the beam out of thy own eye. Okay, I got it. And then shalt thou be clearly, you can see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Give not, okay, it goes on. So, did it tell us not to judge? No, it just says to pull the beam out of y'all. Look in the mirror. Examine your salvation. Examine yourself. See, I have a problem, folks. I'll tell you, got problems. It used to be alcohol, it used to be sexual related, it used to be all kinds of stuff. Now it's not. Now it's mostly like just things like the statistics on earth is financial problems. And see, when I believe that a lot of Christians are in debt because we don't listen to the Bible, and what we fail to do is don't realize that if we get into a bind, Satan will use those beams, and he will use those devices to bring strife to a marriage. So in the last days, we have to figure that stuff out. But we also have to figure out that, hey, we can't let that be used as a bully pulpit to beat us out of our head, these things. If you are a woman who decided to terminate a baby, and the devil would use that against you. Or if you are somebody who maybe went out and something that you did before you got saved, or even if it's something that you did when you were saved, God, we have to understand that God is a God of repentance. Repent means to make an about face and turn towards God and walk in his ways. Repent not, okay, I'm sorry, God, and do it again. But see, getting back to what I was saying earlier, the main focus of this whole thing that I'm talking about is that God wants us to have a relationship with him in these last days. And the people who I read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 who are having, the Bible says that they are disrespectful to parents, they're boastful, proud, arrogant, high-minded. And these people they're unsaved people, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. But a cardinal Christian is someone who has the form of godliness but deny the power to separate them from sin. The Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus breaks the bondages of sin that is coming upon our lives. And if we do not have God to give us the strength to break those bondages, we will be in trouble. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prosperity Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Now, we don't go blowing up people and killing our enemies because God never told us to do so, but we're literalists in our interpretation of what the Bible says. We believe it verbatim, we believe it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we live accordingly. So why is that so hard to believe that Muslims would do the same? Because the Quran puts no limitations on the violence and the war against those who stand opposed to Islam, where the Bible and the New Testament, especially in grace under which we live, Jesus never mandates that we do such a thing. So, you know, they're literalists and we are literalists. Theirs causes them to be violent.
Rapture Ready Radio, live on Tuesday and Saturday, and the BB Report live on Thursday. Visit www.raptureReadyRadio.com for more show information.
Hey everybody out there, my name is Phil Armstrong and I'd like to invite y'all to join us on the Prophecy Zone every Thursday and Sunday as we talk about the soon coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about world events like the Mark of the Beast, Israel, Middle East peace talks, Middle East wars. We're going to be talking about things like the end time generation that we live in, because we are living in the final days. So join us on the Prophecy Zone. Okay, we're back. We're going to be talking about some Bible prophecy right now, North and South Korea. I had a radio program on Blog Talk Radio who had a great point. The way I've always seen it is that there will be wars on at least four or five different fronts, maybe more, at the time that Jesus Christ is going to return for his church. We believe that he will, God himself will come back when there is almost the appearance of Armageddon on the world scene. And I told y'all earlier that I believe that the time is now. I think the time is pretty fast approaching us, and I believe that the time is very close. We have been going up in the numbers on this program, but we have not had a chance to just really get in and continue to do shows on a daily basis, at least 30 minutes, so I'm probably going to be doing that pretty soon. Now, we believe, and I say we, I believe there's many Christians who are out there that I research, and many unsaved people that has good information believe that we are in probably the last couple of months in history. I mean, as far as the church is involved, the church will be snatched out of here. Even for those people who think there is no rapture, let's wait and see. And if I'm right, then I'll be like, praise God. If you're right, then I'll have to stay here. But I believe that I'm right, and you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see no way I'm wrong. I've already studied it enough, restudied it, double check. We used to have a guy in the army, drill sergeant, he'd say check, double check. You know, he'd tell us to check our weapon, check and check this, check that. Make sure you got your mask. Make sure you got your lens. Make sure you got your valve to go on your mask, so if they gas you, you won't fall out. But things that I think are going to happen pretty soon is terrorist attacks across the United States and across the world. I believe that the movies that people have been trained to watch will come true on the face of this earth. So all those movies that you saw, like 2012, Deep Impact, all of those movies are going to come true. You're going to be able to star in your own end time movie, but it's going to be real. I believe that this stuff is going to start around next month, and it's going to increase greatly in July and August. And now maybe I'm wrong. Let's pray that I'm wrong. Let's pray that we got another year. I don't mind being wrong, but at the same time, I don't love this world. I have nothing to gain here. I've heard a this is not the saddest story, but I was kind of chuckling on this story. But there's this 1 year old kid. Look, I think he's even younger than 1 year. About 1 year, maybe a little bit over one, about 14 months. But anyway, this dude was a little chubby little kid. He was from the islands, one of the islands. He looked like he's Tongan, or maybe. But anyway, he's sitting up there smoking. And this kid was enjoying his cigarette like a grown-up. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, look at this kid, man. He's just, like, puffing. And they say when they try to take the cigarette away from him, he throws a temper tantrum. Kind of like my 2-year-old, but this time for a cigarette. I'm like, geez. And he's a little chubby little boy, too, looking like Chubby Checker. But anyway, the reason why I brought that up, because it's sad, man. I mean, just like... I mean, it's just like nobody thinks, especially in the United States. I think God told us to occupy. I know that for sure. But I think people love the world. And I've seen some of the most miserable people who would deny Jesus was coming back because they like their misery. I've seen some of the happiest people, which is understandable, deny Jesus Christ. I've seen some happy Christians who would just not want you to come back yet, Jesus, because I got to see my son graduate. I got to see George just walk across that stage and he has about three kids, and then I move in with him because I'm the, you know, I'm the mother-in-law, I'm the mom, I'm George's mom, and the daughter-in-law don't mind. I can just come in and, you know, or people want, like, I'm going to school next year, the Lord wills, for I'm going to Wentworth. And I love school. I love my life. I'm not, you know, the saddest person in the world. You know, I'm cool. I like my life. I'm a happy person, you know. But at the same time, I think to you know, it is detrimental that we don't get caught up in material things to keep us here. Because the more your heart holds, the heavier you are going to be lifted up into the rapture. And the Bible says in John, he talks about loving the world or the things in the world. Now, let's look at, you can look at a kid in both ways. You can look at a kid towards getting into the kingdom of God. You can also look at a kid towards not getting in the kingdom of God. And you say, what do you mean? Well, the kid is all, you know, kids are going to be on their age of accountability anyway, most of them, but I'm not making that a point. That's not the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make that if you love the world with curiosity and just, oh, I just love this car and I want to get this, and oh, I got to get my hair done, and I want to get these $5,000 dreadlocks, and, you know, and I got to go here, and I got to go to this college, and I'm just, this is, and what about Jesus? Oh, yeah, okay, I go to church on Sundays, but anyway, I got to do this and I got to do that. I mean, are you saved? And people today get so offended of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't get offended on the prosperity movement because the prosperity movement is not going to tell them the truth. If you can watch Creflo Dollar for a couple hours, then you got problems. I mean, if you can watch any preacher, to me, I think a decent preacher will be the preacher that you can't, I cannot listen to you another sermon. But if you're doing a series, like, you know, from Genesis to Exodus to Leviticus to Numbers, and you're doing a series, yeah, I can listen to you. But when you start preaching these individual sermons, I'm feel unease. I need a break. Then you got the right preacher. But if you listen to a preacher that you just feel eased, I feel so good, I just feel eased, I feel very comfortable. Yeah, dude, I went to church last week, man, and I just loved the sermon. What was it about? It was about the peace that I can have through just working and getting rich money and just doing the things that I can do to make myself better. And just I just feel like being a better person. Oh, you do? Is that what God asked you to do? Or, I mean, seriously. So if you can sit on there and you can watch tapes and tapes and tapes of your preacher, then you might have the right gospel. Maybe he's just the right, he knows how to present it. But sooner or later, you got to become uneasy with that, because he's going to tell you, you shouldn't be doing this and you shouldn't be doing it. Now, is the Christianity a religion that does not let you put your hand in the cookie jar sometimes? Yeah, it's going to be some cookie jars you can't put your hand in. It's going to be some cookie jars you can. That's how it is, folks. I mean, it's going to be some things you can do. All things are lawful for me, but, I mean, do I put myself in that position to affect my salvation, with my relationship with God? I mean, for instance, fussing at your wife. Do you put yourself in a position where you lose testimony for your kids? I mean, I've done that before. And God has worked out so much stuff, man. I'm like, keep working, baby. Keep working, God, because you're doing a great job. Every day I get better. Every day I get better. I'm still going to be a disciplinarian. I'm still going to come out. You fuss at my wife, I'm going to come out. I'm gonna be like gorilla on you. But I'm gonna be serious. I'm not gonna pick up my kids for any reason. I used to be terrible at that. But see, now I'm not, you know, God is working with me. You know. God is working on everybody. I mean, that's saved. But if you don't know what God is working on you for, folks, you're probably not saved. You got to be able to come up to them and it's like, you know, there ain't no boards or nothing. You know how you get promoted and you go in front of a board or you got to go in front of a interview committee. And you, I'm just being funny when I say this, but imagine coming up to an interview committee to get a job. They ask you, when was the last thing that, I mean, just say instead of job though, it's seeing your progress on Christianity. Let's just say that. Now, if you sit down there and say like there's three angels sitting up there, and they say, well, what are you dealing with? Oh, nothing, man. I'm just good, man. I'm fly. I watched that basketball game the other day. The Lakers won. I'm serious, man. I'm good. Oh, you're a Christian? Yeah. Well, I mean, what is God working on you with? I don't know. I lost my keys a couple of days ago. I found them. Well, let's stop there. God has done a miracle in your life. Now, what is he working on? I mean, are you always comfortable? Do you feel okay? Now, remember, Jesus' burden is easy. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. But at the same time, the Bible talks about it in Romans chapter 8 that he will chastise us. You will feel sort of uneasy. It's not like he's going to send a big boulder down to hit you in the head and say, look, boy, get up. That's not the thing he's going to do. But you're going to feel very uneasy when you say the wrong thing to your sister. Oh, that was wrong, girl. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Okay, something like that. Or you know, just let's say you accidentally just flip somebody off. I'm not trying to be mean about it. Let's just say you do it. I mean, if you don't feel like crap for doing that, then you might want to say, well, wow, well, where's my conscience at, at least? Because even the unsaved people got a conscience. But see, then there's times where, according to God's word, he's going to chastise us. So according to the word of God, that's what separates a guilty conscience in the world towards a salvation conscience towards God. Godly sorrow causes repentance. So if you have godly sorrow for what you have done to your parents, if you have godly sorrow for what you have done to a friend, if what you have done to someone out in the public, the Bible says love your enemy, love your neighbors yourself. So if you do not have those things pressing on your heart within a year, if you can come up to me and say, well, yeah, well, I can't remember what God's working on me about, well, you're probably not saved. Or you better clear up those communication lines. How you clear up the communication line? You make sure you're saved. Every day you dress right, triple check, double check. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, says if we sin, we have to confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins. So if you do something wrong, you have to be in a repentant state almost every day. Now, there's a repentant lifestyle, which your whole life is repentant. You turn towards God, but at the same time, if you know that you've done something wrong, now we do so many sins, we're like a computer, like a mainframe, we're just going, and we don't even know when we're sinning. But God does. But see, the sins that we do know, we need to bring before God and repent. So if we know we said something wrong to somebody, we know we did something wrong, we know that we slipped away from God temporarily, we need to come back and he will accept us and love us. But if we do not do that, then we are not in the right state of mind. Now, getting back to the question that we asked, a carnal Christian is the one who is, it's actually an oxymoron. Let me say that first. So let's not say a cardinal Christian. Let's just cut that one right out, because it's like saying a lukewarm Christian. And what people do is they play with the Bible so much is that they get it confused. Even pastors. I don't need to go to college to figure out that a lukewarm Christian is a cardinal Christian. And what did he say to the church of Laodicea? I spit you out of my mouth. So where do you draw the line? You come back to Christ. You don't live in sin. You don't practice it. Because once you begin to practice sin, you are out of God's realm. Now, what is practicing? Could practicing sin be just simple? See, everybody think practicing sin is like going to a club and alcohol and pimps and prostitutes. Practicing sin, folks, is neutral. You don't need to be doing anything wrong, and that's the sad thing about it. See, that is the sad thing about it. Sin can actually be fun. What do you mean? If your lifestyle is to take a cruise trust me, the rich man has a good lifestyle. Being rich is not, it's not like you're going around chopping people's heads off, folks. It's not like you're getting chased by scavengers to these days to get your money. Only the IRS is going to do that. But the point is that sin is not, God made sex for marriage, but God, sex is actually fun. Hey, oh, did he say that? Yeah, I said that. Sin can watch, you can sit there and watch a marathon of I Love Lucy and blow hell wide open quicker than the person who's at a club. See, the person at a club knows, hey man, I got to get myself right, but I'm going to the club tonight. They know it. A drug addict knows. Eventually, well, why they're not doing it? Because they're stubborn. They're not doing it. But they know that they need a savior. Now, take a neutral person who they have no cares in the world. They build a car up. Their lifestyle is good. Got a nice looking boyfriend, a girlfriend. They don't need Jesus. They're rich. Need of nothing. But you take the prostitute. That's what Jesus was saying. I come to save the sick, not the one who is well. See, the one who is sick, know they sick. But the one who is well, don't know they well. I mean, you know, they don't know they're sick. So we're going to take a break, and we will be right back.
Join me, Phil Armstrong, on Blog Talk Radio to discuss end-time events, the mind of Jesus Christ's second coming, earthquakes, pestilence, the mark of the beast technology, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the divide into groups, and much more. Join us for our action-packed information that will keep you informed so you can be ready for the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Once again, join us on Blog Talk Radio.
I'm back. I thank y'all for tuning in. We're going to come back on the other side with another show. God bless everybody. And be sure to check out my website on www.theprophecyzone.org. We should have that up pretty soon. God bless y'all. We'll be back on the other side. God bless.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtain.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society.
Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Prophecy Zone. It's Phil Armstrong, and I'm going to be talking to y'all about Bible prophecy today. Got a little tongue-tied there for a second, but we're going to be talking about the imminency of God is coming, that He will be coming back on a day that nobody's expecting, especially the rest of the world. But I'm going to talk to y'all today about a possible surprise that the world will be having pretty soon, and I'm going to put myself out there and say that the times that are coming upon the earth will be shocking to the world, but it's going to be very trying in our society and in our country and the world. But we as Christians need not be worried. There's going to be times where you're going to want to worry, but we should be awake and not asleep, that day shall come by you as a surprise. And the Bible says to not be tied up with the cares of this life, that day shall overtake you as a thief. In Luke 21, it talks to us about being tied up with the cares of the world, being tied up with worries. The Bible says in Luke 21:36, watch ye therefore and pray. Now he says watch and pray. Now, if I'm not mistaken, for all you Bible prophecy buffs, you're in the right, and everybody else is in the wrong. It says, watch and pray. Now, you can be an old lady that's not even interested in Bible prophecy and still watch and pray, so that's not my total point. It says, watch and pray that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, all you people who don't believe that there's a rapture, he's asking us to watch and pray that we can escape. But that's not what I'm going to go into today. It says in verse 34, chapter 21 of Luke, it says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. The cares of this life. Now, you got to have some soap to wash yourself, right? You got to pay your bills, right? You got to support your family. You got to do all those things. But when you know that the time is coming, you're going to know when he's at the door. For those who don't believe that, you know, don't know what day and hour, I'm going to talk to y'all about that today, too. But when you see the things starting to really get bad, you're going to have to pick up your Bible, because there's going to be a lot of people that are not going to understand because their church does not preach Bible prophecy. As a matter of fact, they don't even come close to Bible prophecy. we are too busy teaching other things rather than Bible prophecy, prosperity, and all this other stuff. But we need to be watchful. We need to be sober. We need to be sober-minded. That's clear-mindedness. That's beyond alcohol. That's, you can be sober and unclear-minded. It's asking us to be clear-minded so we can focus on what is coming. And a lot of people will tell you, hey, man, don't get caught up in this stuff, man. Don't get caught up in the Bible prophecy, man. Jesus is going to come back when he gets ready. Yeah, you're right. But what people fail to realize is that he actually written to the T of his first coming, to the T that he'll be walking in, riding a donkey into Jerusalem, and to the T of his second coming for the church. You say, what are you talking about? Well, 1948, Israel became a nation again. It says in Isaiah that a nation should be born in one day. Hosea chapter 6 says, after 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he should raise us up that we should be in his sight. It talks about a generation being 70 years. And Psalms 90. It talks about that generation being 70 years from 1948 to 2018. We're going to take a break, folks, and I'm continuing on that same thing when I get back.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning Program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning. America. Warning. America's habit forming. Habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at AnAmericanWarning.com. That's AnAmericanWarning.com.
Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're listening to the Prosperity Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Now, in the last days, people are going to be worried about the cares of this life. Man will be also eating and drinking and giving in marriage, doing business as usual. And to Noah, went into the ark, and Lot left the city. But his wife looked back. And the Bible says, do not look back like Lot's wife. When the times of Jesus Christ coming for the church comes, people think that it can come out right now. If you look at the calendar, look at the map of the weather today in the United States, it's all sunny. There's no rain today in the United States. Well, it's some rain, but I'm just making a point. The birds are singing, probably. I'm pretty sure people are having a good time, especially over this weekend. But my point is this. Jesus will come back at a time when it looks like it's almost Armageddon. That means there is a time where the world will be so engulfed in things happening across the globe that people would think that when the Antichrist does come, he is the second coming, and the millennium has just been ushered in. I went yesterday, and I saw Iron Man, and to me, that they kind of made Iron Man out of a messianic figure, sort of, and I also went to see a play called 1984, and it was a trip. It was at my college. And It is crazy. 1984 is crazy. You ought to get the CD or the book and read it. Society they call cold, hot, and war, peace, and strength, weakness, freedom, and slavery, things like that. But anyway, the millennium will be ushered in, so-called 1,000 points of light that Adolf Hitler was talking about, or when George Bush Sr. said, we're going to usher in a new world order. The new world order that Obama was talking about just recently at the graduation of the military college. He was saying that they're going to have an international order pretty soon. Well, the international order will be ushered in after all the climax. Now, if you read Matthew 24, Jesus said that there should be wars and rumors of wars, and there should be pestilence on earth. But, and then all of a sudden it says, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. It's like a big surprise. It's like the birth pains just got bigger. And before Jesus Christ comes back for his church, simultaneously, there are going to be wars. Now, remember, Lot ran out of the city when the rocks were falling, and Noah went into the ark when the rain was coming. So at the same time, there will be times where God is going to shake the last terrors out of his church. Now, remember the Bible says judgment should begin in the house of the Lord. Now, what does it mean by judgment should begin in the house of the Lord? That means at the rapture of the church, there will be a bema seat judgment where God will judge the church for the deeds done here. Not as far as salvation, they're already saved. Some as by fire. But they will be judged standing in front of Jesus, and he will go over your life. Now, it says in Luke 21, verse 36, it says, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, you're escaping from something. Now, remember he said to the church of Philadelphia, I will keep you out of the time of testing. And the word church is no longer mentioned until chapter 19 and 20. So Jesus comes down with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon the whole world, to call this thing to completion, which is spoken of in Daniel chapter 9, to cause iniquity to cease. That is the chief aim of life. The chief aim of life is not to see your son graduate. The chief aim of life is not to get that big old mansion. The chief aim of life is not to become president of the United States. Moses was one of the richest men, one of the most successful men, and he decided, you know what? I'd rather go to heaven with the peasants than be rich and go to hell. Now, I'm not talking about don't go and start a business, something like that. I really think people should do that. But at the same time, we need to know where Jesus stand at all times, where God stand at all times, because nobody's vulnerable from the devil's attacks to make you go in another direction. Now, there's a lot of men and women who start their own business and then go cheat on their spouse. And their whole life is wrecked. They start drinking alcohol and start looking like Ned the Wino instead of, John the Suit. But the Bible talks about we shall stand in front of God to give an account, that judgment shall begin in the house of God. Now, let me stop here and go back to what I was going to tell y'all, that the time that Jesus is to come back, no one knows. But we do know this. When the signs of the Bible reaches its climax, that sooner or later Jesus will come back for his church in that climax. Now, do we know the length of time? No. Do we know the general time frame? Well, and when he's at the door, if Grandpa's coming down the street, and we're wondering what Grandpa's coming back, and here he comes down the street, a lot of the kids look out the window and say, Grandpa's here. Now, is Grandpa in the driveway yet with the vehicle? Did he even get out the car yet? No, Grandpa, Grandma still in the car. Still just pull it up in the driveway, but Grandpa's here. How long does it take for Grandpa to get back into the house? It don't take that long, folks. So when Jesus is at the door, he says, even at the door. Somebody, no, nobody knows the day and hour. Well, even at the door, it's the same thing. Do you know the general time that the Super Bowl is? We know when it's at the door. It used to be in January 27th, back in the day, back in the 80s. Now it's in February. We know it's the first couple of days in February. So we know that it is at the door in February. So we know what time it is coming. So what we need to do now is to say to ourselves, okay, what do you think is going to happen in the next couple of months? Well, I'll say this, in the next year and a half, to be on the safe side, but I'll go jump off, I'll throw myself under the bus and tell y'all, we are very close. For the study, I think we really need to ask ourselves a question. Do we really love this world? Do we really love the things in this world? Do we really want to see us get a new house, or us get a new Rolls Royce, or us get a new yacht, or Billy Joe to graduate from high school, or Mary Lou go off to college and become an Ivy League Rhodes Scholar, or Jenny Lee with Crystal go and do American Idol and win? I mean, for real, folks, is it really worth it? I mean, hell is eternal. Hell is eternal, folks. I mean, do we really want to see all that happen, or do we want to do our part And talk to the world about Jesus Christ? Because, folks, immediately after the rapture, you're going to get all that stuff that you want and more, especially if your family makes it out. You get all that stuff and more. You get everything. You get eternal life. You get the streets of gold. You get everything. And Chief, I'm telling you, the stuff that you're trying to go for right now will be over. Even if it was 1980, we knew that we were in the generation. There was a lot of books written that, hey, we are in the generation. So they knew it then. Back even in the day, back in the year 1000, they knew that we were in the last days. If you count 1,000 years as a day, and a day is 1,000 years, yeah, we're in the last days of a six thousand year program. They knew that. They knew that. So what people don't know today is that Jesus is coming back. I'll go to the store. I'll go to the mall. These people don't have no idea. They're supposed to live their life like that. No, that's not what I'm saying. But the thing is I'm not saying it for that purpose. I'm saying it for the purpose of, oh, I feel bad. These people don't know what's going to hit them. In the next 7 years, they don't know what's going to hit them. And this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is what I'm called for. To preach the glory of God. To preach the second coming. To preach to what he's supposed to be coming. He's coming pretty soon. I hear his footsteps. I see him coming down the road. He's almost here, folks. He's almost here. And his reward is with him. And people don't realize that the judgment will begin in the house of the Lord. That's what he said. I've never heard it preached that way, but that's what he's talking about. How else could judgment come in the house, to the house of the Lord? How else could it come first, folks, unless he takes the church out? Then he's going to judge those who are quick and dead, those that are alive and remain. And those who are dead. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. So what I said on my last show was that lukewarm Christians, there is no such thing as lukewarm. There is such thing as lukewarm Christian. There is no such thing as carnal Christians. Carnal Christians are lukewarm Christians. And he said he would spoil them out of their come off. You have to focus in like a person hitting a dartboard. If you had a wall, if you were in the big gymnasium, you had a wall full of pictures of things that humans do, from work to be on a beach, to sex, to rock and roll, to smoking weed, to, and you had all these pictures, race car drivers, race car put together, modeler, crocheter, everything. You put thousands of pictures up, and you have one bullseye right in the middle of them pictures, and all you need to do is focus in to get to that bullseye. Or even if you don't hit the bullseye, you hit around the bullseye. And even if you hit outside of the whole dartboard, at least God can get you back in. But picture this. You have to focus in on heaven. People say, well, what do you mean? A good way to say it is you have to focus in. You have to focus in. You have to enter in through the straight gate. You have to enter in carefully. And a lot of people that I know don't mention Jesus, don't care about you, don't care about the, I mean, you can't get some people to tell you a testimony that they had at school. Oh, I had this, I had, praise God, guess what my teacher did for me, praise God, I had this happen to me today. Or you can't get somebody to say, well, I witnessed to this person the other day. They always got to say something else outside of the realm of Christianity, then they can say I'm saved. God has to be first. Sooner or later, if I can talk to you for a while, I know you're not saved. I can tell the fruit on the tree. You have to understand that you have to have a lifestyle that is absorbed by Jesus Christ, or else you won't make it to heaven. Yourself, your sins have to be forgiven and washed away truly. But you have to become a child of the Most High God. Being a child of God does not mean you walk off and do what you want to do. It does not mean that his kingdom is a secondary issue to me. His kingdom is third. His kingdom is fourth. I care about if my daughter goes to camp. I care about if my sister goes to, you know, Hemajima for a business trip. I care about, you know, just stuff that does not matter. You have to focus in on Jesus to enter in the kingdom of God, folks. You have to want to. You have to with your heart. It will manifest itself after that. It will come out. You can't wait to get home and tell your wife or husband or sister, or you can't wait to get on the phone and witness to this girl. I need to pray for myself. I need to pray for my brother. I need to pray for people. I need to go out and witness. I need to find a way to witness. True Christians are going to tell you, well, God is working on me with this area, man. I'm hurting. True Christians are going to tell you those things. If somebody goes to you and come up to you and say, well, I'm saved, and you watch their life, and they have no, just, they don't care about the things of God. They just care about the temporal things, the things that are here. Now, I'm not talking about, I don't care if you're living for another 100 years. I mean, I don't care if Jesus Christ come back another 100 years from here. If you don't care about the things of God, you're probably not saved. You can't be. That's what the Bible says. Pick it up and read it. Enter in through the narrow gate. Let me read this for y'all again. Matthew's chapter 7, and it says, and I read, chapter 7, verse 13. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in there. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. You have to focus in on that. You have to hit that bullseye. That's why Jesus said, whoever does not enter the kingdom of God is a little child. What does a little child do? My 7-year-old son can't wait to tell me about a video game. He goes, Daddy, we went out to eat today, and man, he just talking. That's what God is talking about. When you come home and you, because there's a lot of saved or wives, and the wife come home, the pastor said this, and oh, I just had a wonderful day at work. God blessed me. He did this and this and this. You're gonna know. You're gonna know that person shut up. Please shut up. You don't say it to them because you don't want to hurt their feelings. But you're going to want to speak it. If I'm going to go and I'm going to enter American Idol, I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to put the tickets in. We're going up to Seattle and try out for an audition. You ain't going to be able to shut that person up. Whatever you are interested in, that's what you're going to talk about. That's why the Bible says if you're not willing to, if you don't hate your mother, your brother, your sister, your cousin, your son, your daughter, on my account. Now, he's not telling us to hate because we know the rest of the Bible. But he said prioritize. Compared to Jesus, my blah, 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 my husband is a close, he's a faraway second, but I still love him. I love my, if something happened to my son or something happened to my daughter, I would be hurting. My daughters, my sons, my kids, I'll be sad. But God is asking you to prioritize your family versus God. Who do you put first? God has to be first in our lives. When the rapture happens and that trumpet sounds and you wonder why I'm still here, because he was like fifth. Now, there are certain people who would not be honest with themselves. You honestly think you're, you're saying that I'm not saved because of this or this and that. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying whatever the Bible teaches, you could tell them by their fruits. If every second word is not Jesus, no, that's not what I'm saying. I can talk about anything. I can talk about football. I can talk about taking a trip to London. I can go talk about Whitworth, going to school, next year, seminary, a couple of years later. I can talk about all this stuff. But the thing is, what is your priority? You can almost tell. If I could be in a unit, like when I was in the Army, if I can go somewhere for a year, I could tell you every single Christian in that unit. You just give me about a good month or two. Because I probably need longer for a unit. But in my company, I can tell you all the Christians just by what they talk about. Now, there are some Christians there's some people, religious people who talk about God. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you could tell a genuine Christian. I don't care if they have problems. I don't care if they're dealing with some issues. I don't care what they're dealing with. You can almost tell someone who is in love with Jesus because you can't shut them up. I don't care if it's the second coming, the first coming. I don't care if it's whatever Jesus did in your life. You're going to understand, hey, this is real God. I can feel him. I can touch him. I can hug him. I can kiss. I can wet his hair with my wet his feet with my hair, with my tears. I mean, I just know he's a real God by faith. But God is coming back soon. Jesus is on his way. The trumpet will sound pretty soon, and all those who are dead will come first. Now imagine driving past a cemetery on that day and that hour. Knoweth no man, the day is our knoweth no man, which is a holiday called Rosh Hashanah. They call it the day no man knoweth. In Leviticus chapter 23, the Feast of Trumpet is the day of the hour that no man knoweth. It is the day and hour festival feast that no man knoweth. It is based off a Jewish wedding. So if you see all kinds of crap, if you see all kinds of stuff happening before the 9th and 10th of September, you know that Rosh Hashanah might have to be factored into the equation. It's coming, folks. It's all over the place. The United States is sending vessels over there. They already sent vessels over there. They got fleets over there. Israel's already set their submarines outside of Iran. North and South Korea on the verge of blowing each other up. I'm pretty sure Indian and Pakistan, you might want to start watching for Indian and Pakistan. Now, I will say pretty soon in the next 60 to 90 days, I'm pretty sure Pakistan and India might get into it. Maybe they might be spared this one. But I think they're going to get into it. I think Taiwan and China would try to retake Taiwan. So various things will be happening economically. But remember what I said, though. when you see these things happening, look up for your redemption draw nigh. God bless everybody, and please look at us on www.theprophecyzone.com. We're going to be finishing up pretty soon, and just go and listen to our three-hour radio program that will begin next week. God bless y'all. Have a wonderful day. God bless.
Excuse me, Scott needs your attention.
Yeah, like clothes. Clothes. Do you understand how to close and show?
Alert from Scott. Warning.
Warning what?